This is the moment that the graces of salvation are being poured into a person's life, and they're being changed completely in that moment. Freed from original sin, forgiven of every sin they've committed up until that point, claimed for Christ as a new creation. So many of you may not know this, but I have a rifle collection. And my wife, in an effort to play some sort of practical joke on me, put glue all over my rifle connection. Now, she's denying that it was her, but I'm sticking to my guns. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 275. Kind of a milestone episode, wouldn't you say? So great to have you with us. If it's your first time listening, please rate and review this podcast. It helps other people find it. And hope you enjoyed how we start every episode with a little dad joke. Brought you some joy today, I hope. And if you feel so inclined to check out more of our content, please go to our website, mannafoodforthought.com or mannaFFT.com. That's mannaFFT.com. While you're there, click on the subscribe button. You'll sign up for our weekly psalm reflection that will get sent to your inbox every Wednesday. And if you feel so inclined, once again, to click on the give button on the website, that will take you to our Patreon page where you can become a financial sponsor for this podcast for as little as $1 a month, and patrons get perks and access to exclusive content and my undying love and support in terms of my prayers. So thank you for your support and your prayers for me and my family and this podcast. So much appreciated. So without further ado and all that introductory stuff, which I feel like I mangled this time around, but who cares? Let's get into the important stuff, which is the podcast, and start how we always do with joy, junk, and Jesus. I'd love to know what's going on with you and how I can pray for you. I'll tell you what's going on with me. My joy this past week was we were on vacation in Lake Arrowhead, my hometown where my wife and I met and grew up, and got to bring our kids up there and take them over to Big Bear, which is a little bit further east in the same mountain range. And just do a lot of fun things with them. And that was just a really, really good time. Junk was that it was very hot up there. And I don't know, I just find the, I don't know if it's the temperature, the bed, whatever it is when we go up there, I find it very difficult to sleep and be comfortable. So I didn't sleep very well. And then, you know, when you're on vacation, you don't eat super great, you know? So we ate out a lot and I feel very tired and doughy. And hoping that coming back to a space of discipline and routine will get me out of that. And we just had some issues with some of Levi's diabetes devices too while we're on vacation. So it was still very good, but there was just some stressors that are still kind of, you know, having effects and consequences that are not fun. But overall, things are really good. My Jesus moment was once we came back this weekend, we went to Mass that Sunday, yesterday as I'm recording this. And I didn't have anything going on, no meetings right away after Mass, which is kind of rare. And so I got to hang out with the family after Mass, and we're all in the courtyard, a bunch of other families. And we stayed for almost an hour just talking with people, letting the kids play. And it was just, I don't know, it was a really gift, a real gift to be able to experience the community, the very vibrant, beautiful community we have here. Because I really don't get to be enmeshed in it as much as I would like to, because I have so many other things going on. So yeah, that was a huge gift. So love to know what's going on with you, as I said, but let's get into our episode. This is the gospel reading for, sorry, not the gospel, hello, the second reading for this upcoming Sunday, which is the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we're continuing through St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. He's writing to the church in Colossae in modern-day Greece, and we've been in this letter already for 2 weeks, so you'll remember Paul is writing to them to help them in their disputes against false teachers, to remind them of the central tenets of their new life in Jesus Christ. And that's more of our focus this time, that all kind of culminates and begins in the moment of baptism, that's a period of spiritual transformation where there is a death of our former self and a birth into the newness of who God is calling us to be, who He is recreating us to be, and that comes with forgiveness of sins and the victory of the cross. And so that's what he's talking about this week in our letter to St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. This is what Paul writes. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us, he also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this passage is a really good example of the regenerative nature of baptism. You know, there are a lot of Christian denominations who just see baptism as a symbol. They don't see it as having any, you know, tangible link to salvation, that salvation is more about belief and faith in Jesus. And we believe that too, but we believe that you express that faith and receive the gift of it through the sacrament of baptism, because that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again of water and the Spirit. And so that's baptism. And so here is really good evidence for this as well, that along with this language of baptism talks about that we were dead before in transgressions and that we're forgiven of those transgressions, that we're obliterating the bond against us, that the Lord is doing that in baptism. He's talking about original sin, its legal claims, the consequences of original sin that are all opposed to us, that those are removed because of what happened on the cross. And so that gift of salvation that Jesus won for us in his death and resurrection, we experience that in our own death and resurrection through the sacrament of baptism. And so that's what he's really emphasizing here, trying to emphasize the significance of baptism, the complete forgiveness and freedom that it brings, and contrasting kind of our former state of spiritual death with the new life that we now share in Christ through his death and resurrection. And so this first major line here in verse 12, that you were buried with him in baptism in which you were also raised with him. He says this also in Romans 6:4, that we were buried with him through baptism into death so that we too might live in newness of life. The Catechism talks about this in paragraph 1213. It says that through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons of God. We become members of Christ. And so this phrase buried with him, St. Gregory Nazianzus described baptism as illumination, where the old self dies and the new self rises in Christ. That baptism is meant to symbolize both death to sin and rebirth into new life. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in traditional baptismal fonts, they are depicted often as tombs. They're shaped to look like tombs or coffins, because when you descend into the waters of baptism, part of you is dying. Like, you are no longer the same when you come out of those waters of baptism. And so when I teach baptism preparation classes to parents and godparents, I tell them, like, this is the most spiritually significant moment in the life of any person, because this is the moment that the graces of salvation are being poured into a person's life, and they're being changed completely in that moment, freed from original sin, forgiven of every sin they've committed up until that point, claimed for Christ as a new creation. And so I heard a pastor once talk about this in terms of a recipe. And so to lead into this, it's important that we know, like, baptism, the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizion, which means to plunge or to immerse. And this is not just a biblical word or word associated with the sacrament. It was a pre-existing word that shows up in ancient recipes. And particularly, it shows up in an ancient pickling recipe. I hate pickles. I think they're the devil's food, but it works for this analogy. That if you've ever made pickles, you know how they're made. You take a cucumber and you dip it in boiling water to cure it, basically to cleanse it and purify it. And then you immerse it in a brine. And the brine is really what changes and pickles it. And so in ancient recipes, the word for dip, where you dip it in the boiling water, is bapto, which is similar to baptism, but it's not the same thing. And when you dip it, it simply does that. You simply just have a hot cucumber. And if you leave it out or you cool it again, it's still going to be a cucumber, right? Nothing has fundamentally changed about the nature of the cucumber. You've just kind of changed some auxiliary things about it that can be reversed. But it has this need to be cleansed and purified so that it can then be immersed in this brine. And the word used for that immersion is baptizion, the same word we use for baptism. That once you immerse it in that brine and you take it out, it can no longer be a cucumber. You cannot unpickle a pickle. Once it's pickled, it's a pickle forever. And so when we're baptized, we are essentially pickled for the Lord. Like, we become a new creation. We become different. Our flavor, our taste, our life, our nature, our abilities, all of it is different. Ontologically, we are changed. And I think that's a very important thing for us to recognize and to celebrate. Like, I encourage parents, when they come forward for these classes, like, bring holy water in your house, bless your children to remind them of the grace of their baptism, and also celebrate your and their baptism days. Put it on your calendar like a birthday and do something spiritually significant. You can have like some treats or a cake, but maybe go to mass or have a mass said for them, go to confession or to chapel, do something spiritual, and then do something fun to celebrate this day, because that really is your birthday into new life in Jesus. It's your birthday into the kingdom of heaven. And that's more significant than any earthly birthday that we would celebrate. And this is what Paul is getting at here. When he's disputing false teachers and all these things going on in the church at this time in Colossae, the struggles that they're going through, he's trying to unify them around what is fundamental and necessary for you. And so he goes to baptism. He goes to baptism. He talks, like in the past 2 weeks, he talked about the human and divine nature that we have, that we're all called to die to ourselves, that Jesus became man so that man could become like God, right? But we do that not by glorifying ourselves. We look to the reading of last week where he says we unite our sufferings with Christ, that we make up for what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, which is our participation in that. And through that participation in the dying and rising of Jesus, we also die and rise in today's reading through the sacrament of baptism. That's how we receive all these things, that divination that Paul talked about 2 weeks ago. That's how suffering can make sense, and we can unite it to Christ even more profoundly, is through the waters of baptism, recognizing that in every death there is new life, and that there are things in us that need to die in order for us to get closer to the Lord. And so, baptism is the way that that fundamentally changes us, the main way in which we receive all that the Lord intended for us, that gift of salvation. Right? Paul says that through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. That's how this happens. So this he's saying here, baptism is not simply a ritual. This is a profound act of faith in God's saving power. And then he goes on to say what that does for us, that it forgives us our sins. He says in verse 13, he brought you to life, having forgiven us all our transgressions. This is the complete cleansing of sin in baptism. When Peter gives his first speech on the day of Pentecost to the crowds, and 3,000 are baptized, they're baptized and moved because of his message. And his message reinforces this. He says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what is needed. So the catechism in the section on baptism continues later in paragraph 1265, says baptism not only purifies from all sins, but also makes the neophyte, newly baptized, a new creature, an adopted son or daughter of God. We become part of the family of God. And so St. Augustine said this, which is also quoted in the Catechism, that God has bound salvation to the sacrament of baptism, but he himself is not bound by his sacraments. So God can forgive and save whoever he wants to save, however he wants to save them, but the normative way that he forgives us of original sin, that we are claimed for him, that we become part of his body of Christ, the family of God, the normative way we receive the gift of salvation is through the waters of baptism. And we receive what Jesus won for us on the cross, that victory, where Paul says in verse 14 that he obliterated the bond against us, nailing it to the cross. Christ's sacrifice on the cross cancels the debt of original sin. He fulfills the old covenant's quote-unquote legal demands. It aligns with John 19:30, where Jesus says, it is finished. Well, what is finished? His salvific work, instituting a new Passover for us to come together to receive a new gift of salvation, a new once and for all sacrifice for the forgiveness of all of our sins so that we can become in right relationship with God. St. John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, said in Redemptor Hominis, through the power of the cross, Christ has redeemed the world. And we say language like that at the Mass all the time. That is what we celebrate. That is the profound victory Jesus Christ won for us, and we claim that victory over our lives through baptism. And so our baptism, because we practice infant baptism in our church, which we should because that was practiced in the early church, and we want to receive the gift of salvation for our children, we want to claim it for them, just like we feed them without them asking, we clothe them without them asking. It's our responsibility as parents to do everything that we can to care for their needs physically and spiritually. We step forward on their behalf to claim this gift of salvation for them, and they must continue to live up to it. We must raise them well, or they can lose that gift of salvation through serious sin. But we practice it because of its profound gift. and that grace of baptism can be lost on us because we may have received it when we were children, but we can reclaim that awareness by celebrating it and living in that baptismal grace, that reality of the forgiveness we've received through baptism, by celebrating it, by living in it, by reminding ourselves every time we bless ourselves with holy water at Mass or in our homes, we carry it with us, that we celebrate our baptism day, that we recognize the gift of salvation that's been won for us. Every time we see a crucifix or a cross, we're reminded of that profound gift of Jesus dying for our sins so that we could have new life. So this passage is a call for us to live as people who've been brought from death to life in Jesus Christ. That is the reality that we enjoy and that can so often be lost or forgotten. And so this week, remember your baptism. Go back through pictures. Go ask stories of your family, the people that were there. Relive that day with the new knowledge of what really happened and recognize like your nature was fundamentally changed that day. And that is such a profound gift, something we can never, ever fully comprehend in this life and maybe not even in the next. We cannot ever receive it again once and for all, it is good that we are changed. You cannot unbaptize the baptized soul, just like you cannot unpickle a pickle. It's a pickle forever. You are baptized forever. Now, just like a pickle, you could spoil and go bad. But we have the gift of being able to become unspoiled through the sacrament of confession, through coming back to God in the ways that he's ordained in the sacraments he left us. And so there is always an avenue to return to him. There is always the ability for the outpouring of grace to be received in our lives. And it's constantly being received in our lives, or seeking to be at least, poured into our lives every day in ways we don't realize. And it's been poured into our lives in the past, namely the moment of our baptism, in ways that we forget the magnitude of too often. So I invite you to reflect on that this week, brothers and sisters. And if you're not baptized, if you're listening to this and you're not baptized, to reach out to someone who is, or to a Catholic church, or you know, whoever you know who you trust might be able to tell you about the next steps to potentially allow that to happen so that you can receive this profound gift of salvation. That's all I have for you this week, my brothers and sisters. Until next time, God bless you, and I will see you in the Eucharist. Bye.